Good morning and welcome to worship at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We are grateful for your presence, all of you who are joining us in person and those of you who are joining us online. We have just a few announcements this morning. Since it's been a little bit cooler this week, the pool temperature at Max and Libby's got down a little bit low this week, so instead of pool party, we're going to have games and snacks at Pastor Anna's porch. So if any of you were interested in coming, come to my porch with appetites. Just a reminder that church council is next Sunday, and in two Sundays, we're going to bless backpacks for students returning to school, and we have our school supplies drive for Davis Townsend. You'll see that the Turner family is listed on the prayer list. Johnny's dad, Archie, has died, and they ask for prayer. So you'll also hear Archie's name in the final petition of the prayers of intercession. We have a few birthdays this week. Robert Fritz, Rob Gallagher, Minnie Conrad, Sandra Vaughn, and Andrew Curry. April and Matt Button had their anniversary last week, and Johnny and Tammy Turner have their anniversary this week. And remembering their baptism, Carol Varner and Stuart Walmsley. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts, may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. Please stand as you are able. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Baptized into Christ, let us confess our sin. Merciful God, you free us to love others, but we neglect our neighbors and follow our own way. You lead us by the Spirit of joy and peace, but we turn away from the abundant life you offer. You surround us with patience, kindness, and generosity, but we grow weary in doing what is right. In your mercy, forgive us. Do not give up on us. Heal us, break our bonds, and show us the path of life. You belong to Christ Jesus, and you are God's children through faith. In the cross of Christ and through the power of the Holy Spirit, your sins are forgiven. Clothed with Christ, you are a new creation. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Benevolent God, you are the source, the guide, and the goal of our lives. Teach us to love what is worth loving, to reject what is offensive to you, and to treasure what is precious in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. Good morning, friends. I'm so glad to see you again. And I know who, I think Jane is doing children's church. She'll be glad to see you too, because last time you were here, the person that led children's church told me that it was an absolute delight to have you with them. So I'm glad to see you all. Good morning, Trevor. Good morning. Well, this is a fun thing that I've been working on. Does this look like anybody you might have seen before? It looks like me, yes. This is little bitty Pastor Anna, and I have created her to have glasses like me, and she's got earrings, and she even has little bracelets on. She's got her collar, she's got a cross, and a green stole and an alb. So this is little Pastor Anna. And little Pastor Anna wanted to remind you all of something, that when we have communion, before we have communion, I'm standing behind the altar saying some words and praying some prayers. And once I say those words and pray those prayers, we believe that the presence of Jesus is a part of the bread and wine after that. So God's love is completely in that bread and that wine. But what that also means is that when we're done, if there are leftovers, we can't just pour them out in the sink or put them in the garbage, because we wouldn't throw Jesus in the garbage or put Jesus down the sink. And so the bread and the wine or the juice, they either have to be eaten or drank completely. And so what I'm saying all of this for is that after church is over, if you wanted more bread, you can come up behind the altar where the plate will be on that little table, and you can always come and get more bread. So I just wanted to remind you of all of that, because I know sometimes folks want a little bit more bread. So you can come any time after worship and get the extra bread, because if we don't eat it, then whoever does altar guild that day, they take it home and they sprinkle it out on the grass, because we can return it to the earth, and hopefully some animals might eat it up. So, after church today, come and get a little bit more bread, okay? Will you pray with me? Good morning, God. Thank you for today. Thank you for our church. And thank you for each other. Thank you for communion, and that you give us your love when we eat the bread and drink the wine or juice. We love you, God. Amen. All right, well, you may go to children's church this morning, and little Pastor Anna wants to go too. Would somebody take her? Will you take her with you? All right.
The New Testament lesson today is from the third chapter of Colossians. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. These are the ways you also once followed when you were living that life. But now you must get rid of all such things: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have been stripped of the old self with its practices and have clothed yourselves with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. In that renewal, there is no longer Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, enslaved and free, but Christ is all and in all. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 12th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." And then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do, for I have no place to store my crops?" Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool! This very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and Mother, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. One of the things that I get to do, and I say get to, not have to, one of the things that I get to do as a pastor is have conversations about hard topics with people. Topics that intentionally don't come up in everyday conversation because they're topics that we want to bury down deep out of fear or shame or insecurity. For example, death and dying. Most people nowadays are afraid of death and dying, and I can't help but wonder if that's because we don't talk about it enough. Instead, it's become a taboo topic, and we're trained to think that it's a topic that should be repressed or avoided. Now, Jesus wasn't one to shy away from hard conversations either, was he? In fact, as I look around and see the green pyramids, I'm reminded that this season after Pentecost, ordinary time, is spent looking at the teachings of Jesus so that we can learn more and grow in our discipleship. And so Jesus wasn't one to shy away from conversations about hard topics. In fact, I think Jesus knew that the harder a conversation was, the more important it was to have it. Because Jesus knew if he wasn't having these conversations with people about these hard topics through the lens of God's love or the kingdom of God, then people would be getting their understandings, their knowledge, their teaching about these topics through the lens of the things of the world. Topics like sexual ethics, topics like money. Jesus knew that the way people think about money, the way people act about their money, the way people manage their money, the way people think about their financial values is directly related to their relationship with God and their neighbor. Right? This is still true even if we don't want it to be, but the truth is that the way that we think about money, the way that we act about our money, the way that we think about our financial values is directly related to our relationship with God and with our neighbor, whether we want it to be or not. Think about it. Jesus calls us to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. I think most certainly our financial values and money management are part of how we live out this calling towards God and towards our neighbor. And so in today's gospel lesson, we see a man coming to Jesus to help him settle this domestic dispute with his brother regarding some inheritance money. Jesus refuses to become part of that triangle. He doesn't become the arbitrator, but he does use it as an opportunity to teach us about how money and possessions and greed can become idols. Jesus says in another translation, "Watch out. Be on guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." How about the first commandment? "I am the Lord your God, you shall have no other gods before me." In the Small Catechism, Luther asks, what does this mean? It means that we are to fear and love and trust God above all things. All things, right? That's really hard because secretly we wish Luther had said, just go ahead and fear and love and trust God above most things. But that's not what this commandment is saying. And so today's gospel lesson holds a mirror up for us to honestly reflect on our financial values, to honestly reflect on our money management, and to honestly ask the question to ourselves whether or not our values and our money management help us or hinder us from loving God with all that we have and all that we are and our neighbors. And that's a tough thing because when that mirror is held up for us, we have to honestly ask ourselves, have we made money an idol? Do we trust in money more than we trust in God? Do we love money more than we love God? Or does money and our abundance of possessions make us more curved in on ourselves, more selfish, more self-centered, Right? When we're curved in on ourselves, all we can see is ourselves. But God lifts our head to see our neighbors and to see the needs of our neighbors. Another question we can honestly ask ourselves is, do we find our worth in how much money or how many possessions we have? Or is our worth found in who God says we are? Do we trust money to provide more security for our lives than we trust God? These are really hard questions, but they're faithful questions. They are faithful questions. Because truly, the way that we think and act about money, our financial values, and the way that we manage our money is directly related to our relationship with God and our neighbor. In this parable today, Jesus exposes our own sinful hearts and the ways that we have let greed become an idol for us. You see, that rich fool is way more concerned about storing up an excess, which, by the way, is more than he'll ever be able to eat, even if he lived 100 more years. He's more concerned with building up an unnecessary excess than he is about honoring God's commandment to love our neighbors as ourselves. He's more concerned about storing up more for himself than he is striving for God's kingdom and God's dream that all would have enough. Not too much, not too little, enough. Just like the story of the Israelites in Exodus with the manna, God gave them just enough for that day. The day before Sabbath, he had them get an extra day's worth of manna, but they had just enough for that day. But if they were afraid that there wasn't going to be more tomorrow, that they couldn't trust God, they got more. But the next day, they found that manna to be rotted and stinky and smelly. God wants all people to have not too much, not too little, just enough. One of the interesting things about this passage is that this rich fool, this man, isn't just someone who's randomly traveling through Israel or Palestine. This man is part of the people of God because he knew the Hebrew scriptures, right? He would have been taught those Hebrew scriptures growing up. And remember, in the Old Testament alone, just the Old Testament, there are over 2,000 verses of God calling God's people to care for the poor. But this man is so selfish and so self-centered and so curved in on himself that he doesn't care what God commands or even what God desires. He knew that the law was summed up as Jesus said, loving the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself. He knew that, but he didn't do it. He had that knowledge, but he didn't live it. And that's one of the gifts of this parable, that it moves us, it challenges us, it convicts us to know that Jesus calls us to love God with all of who we are and all that we have, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. And this parable challenges us to ask, do we know that and we don't do it? Or do we know that and we live it? Right? Do you remember these words from the book of James, where the author says, quote, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but does not have works? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill," and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. We can know about God, we can know about Scripture, but if we aren't living it, faith without works is dead. And so today we also read from Colossians that we have been baptized. We are reminded that our old, sinful, selfish, self-centered self has been buried with Christ in baptism, that we have been put to death of those sinful ways and are raised to new life. Our eternal life doesn't begin the moment we die. Eternal life begins at the font when we are baptized. We are raised to that new and eternal life. And that life is to look like Jesus. That life that we are raised to look like Jesus, that's the same Jesus that forgives us over and over again, even when we revert back to our sinful and selfish ways. It's the same Jesus who gives us his Holy Spirit to continue to teach us, to continue to convict us when we fear or love or trust things above God. It's the same Jesus who calls us and shows us how to help bring God's kingdom more on earth as it is in heaven in the way that we live. And so, dear ones, as you come to Jesus' table today, we're going to stop at the font, and I really intentionally want you to remember your baptism, so that the Spirit can remind you of who you truly are. You are God's beloved children. That is your truest identity. That is where your worth comes from. Come to the font to be forgiven for making money and possessions and other things that aren't God idols. Come to the font to be forgiven for thinking that our life consists of our possessions and for not being rich toward God. And then, receive the body and blood of Jesus so that you may be filled in every cell within you with Jesus' love, so that we can go back out into the world to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and all of our mind and all of our soul and all of our strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. May it be so. Amen.
Thank you.
Living together in hope and trust, let us confess our faith together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Drawn into the embrace of the Holy Trinity, we lift our prayers for the wholeness of the Church, the world, and all creation. Renew in your Church a perspective of life beyond worldly pursuits. Build an enthusiasm to embrace life in Christ, so that Christ, the life of the world, is revealed to everyone. God of grace,
hear our
prayers. Revitalize and protect the treasures of wild places. Teach all people to value the earth, winds, waters, trees, and animals, the gifts that make life possible on this planet. God of grace,
hear our prayers.
Speak wisdom to any in positions of power, that they cease practices of divisiveness, insult, and oppression. Clothe all people in your image and establish equity, peace, and justice. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Reveal your loving presence in the lives of people suffering hunger and need, illness and grief, pain and fear, especially Paul and Carolina, Bobby and Jana, John, Janine, Eddie, Pam, Dottie, Bobby, Bob, Karen, the Turner family, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. Give strength to those who give care and equip them with compassion as they make your love known. God of grace, store up in this congregation a full measure of gratitude and generosity. Guide the work of treasurers and all who attend to financial matters. Support those whose work in our community is difficult and demanding. Make us mindful of the toll that goes unnoticed. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Receive our thanks for the lives of your saints who now rest from their labors, especially Archie Turner. Give us wisdom through their witness and courage. Encourage us in love as we continue our lives in the world. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Gather all our prayers in your mercy, O God, through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. I invite you to share the peace of Christ with one another. Peace be with you. Peace
be with you. Peace be with you.
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses.
And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing.
And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling. But he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
Creator God,
in your wisdom you bring forth all that is good, and the harvest is plentiful. Strengthen us at your table with these gifts of the earth and our labor, that we may work for the good of all. Through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Let
us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, 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 holy God, and proud and by.
All praise to you, glorious God of grace. Throughout the ages, you have blessed us with foremothers of the faith. With Sarah, we bless you for your gift of life. With Ruth, we praise you for family and food. With Miriam, we celebrate our escape from the foe. Remembering Deborah, we honor the words of your prophets. Remembering the woman at the well, we laud you for living water. Remembering Junia, we thank you for those who minister among your people. One with the daughter of Jairus, we wake to life in you. With Mary, we magnify your name. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Remembering Martha and Mary, we join Jesus at this meal. Living, he healed the bleeding woman. Dying, he cared for his mother. Risen, he sent Mary Magdalene in mission. On the night before he died, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." With Mary, again, we magnify your name. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Mighty God of mercy, as you heard the prayers of Hannah, so hear us now. Send your spirit on this bread and wine, that sharing the body and blood of Christ, we become his body in the world. Send your spirit on this assembly, that like Phoebe, we serve one another with zeal. And send your spirit on the church, that like Anna, we tell others of your mercy. Send your spirit into our hearts, that like Dorcas, we care for the poor and needy. All praise to you, powerful God of peace. We adore you, our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you who mother and feed and comfort us, today, tomorrow, and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, before you, eat and rejoice.
Thank you.
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray together.
Mothering God, you gathered us to your table, and we drank deeply of your grace. Send us out by your Spirit to love our neighbors as ourselves, and to proclaim your love in Jesus' name. Amen.
The love of God abound in you. The grace of our Savior Jesus Christ fill your hearts, and the life of the Spirit bless you and give you peace. Amen.
Let us say our mission statement together. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Spirit.